All right, so as you know, Pastor Tim isn't here, so we're going to be taking a break from the book of Revelation, and when he gets back next week, we're going to start up again in the book of Revelation. So I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'll give you a little bit of time to get there. We're going to read verses 1 to 10. Out of Proverbs chapter 3. All right, let me get myself situated as well. All right, you guys mostly there? Oh, I forgot. Does anyone need a Bible? See, I haven't done a Sunday in so long, I totally forgot to ask. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and Jim will get one to you. Or Riker is going to go and get it for himself. Go get it, Riker. All right, Proverbs chapter 3. I'm sorry, yes, Proverbs chapter 3. You guys good? Okay. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health for your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And I say amen to that. When you read the proverb in the beginning, he's given an introduction, and in your Bible you might see something that may say advice to a young man. But it's advice to all of us. He begins by saying, learn from me, think about what I learned through God, and tie it around your neck. Keep it very close to you and in your heart. And he goes on, and we're going to focus on verses 5 and 6. When he introduces that, he says first, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So that's a scripture we're probably all familiar with, but there's been an epidemic of trust, or a lack of trust, since the beginning of what we know as creation in the Bible. Adam and Eve trusted the serpent, and instead of God, then they lost paradise. Cain trusted his feelings instead of God and lost his brother and the land that he used to cultivate. Saul trusted in himself instead of God and lost his kingdom. And Judas trusted in religious social justice instead of Jesus and lost his life. And each one of them knowing God but not fully trusting Him. Trust is one of those things that is very difficult and easy to give away. And we can give our trust away easily and wind up feeling hurt financially by someone we trusted who said they would help us with whatever the case may be. And they wind up taking from us. Physically by someone who said they would protect us, but they wind up being the abuser. Emotionally by someone who promised to love us until the day of our death, but they wind up emotionally messing with our minds. And finally, spiritually, through people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, men and women, the church. Many people have been injured spiritually because of a church and misled, not to Christ, but to the church itself. Now, what happens after that? Then we start to build up walls in our life to protect ourselves from those people that we think will take advantage of us. And it makes it difficult for us to trust anyone, including God, in our walk with Christ. So when we look at this scripture and we say, trust in the Lord with all our hearts, we're not leaning on our own understanding. Can we, if we are honest to ourselves, say, I trust the Lord with all my heart. I do not lean on my own understanding. In all my ways I acknowledge him, and I know he always directs my paths. Now, I wish I can say that about myself, but that would be a lie, and that would be wrong if I would be up here and lying. Because this is something that takes time. And if we were all honest, we know that we don't always trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Why is that? Why don't we trust God with all of our hearts? Well, let's look at the wording first and see what it means. In verse 5, when it says trust, the word trust in the Hebrew, the idea is that you are laying helplessly face down on the ground before your God, and you're trusting that he would take care of you even in that way where you submit. When you're looking at the word heart, that implies everything that you are. And we see that in Matthew 22:37. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisee, and he says, or the Pharisee asks him a question. Jesus replies with the proper answer, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And of course, the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus is saying that you love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, with your entire being. Whatever you are, you are to love God with. You are to trust God with everything you are. Now, is that easy in our lives? It's not. But again, the question is, why is that? Why is it difficult for us to trust God in the way we should as Christians? Right? So, the first one we're looking at is financially. Finances is a real difficult topic, right? To trust God in our finances is difficult. And we know when it comes to the church, a lot of the church has, what is that, fleeced the flock and taken a lot of money. Trusting your finances and God having you to give is difficult. Because again, it's hard to trust people in general or what they're going to do with it. When you go out and you see the homeless people, you second guess to give them something because you never know if it's for alcohol or drugs. And when I used to go feed the homeless, generally most of them, not all, there was two camps. They were either addicted to something or they suffered a extreme loss in their life and they became addicted to something. And it's not easy. But when God calls us to give, it's difficult for us. And God would say, can you trust me with your finances? Would you trust me when I say give here or don't give here? A give even more than we think we should to something or someone. And it's not only the church. You know, the church is the body of Christ all around us. So there's a good example in the Bible, and this one you know, it's pretty familiar. And if you want, you can go to Matthew 19:16. If you don't get there in time, I'm just going to read it. But it's a good example of a story that we know and it's familiar to us in the Gospel of Matthew. So finances, again, is a difficult one even to talk about. A lot of pastors don't like going through the scriptures where it says, give to the Lord, because we feel the same way. Think about how you feel when the topic of money is brought up, right? It gets you. And then you have to ask the question, why? Why does money have such a control on us? Because that's what's happening right now. And today, in our society, everything says that you need to get for yourself. Make more of this, make more money. But that's contrary to what God would say because he knows us best. So you look at Matthew 19, and it's a story we know starting at 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. And here is an interesting statement that God is saying. being Jesus. Why do you call me God? God is good. Do you know who I am? Are you trusting in me? He's almost calling out this young man. But he goes on to say, but if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. So this young man says, well, which ones? And Jesus says, and he gives him six, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the young man comes back, probably with a little bit of pride, and he says, all these I have kept from my youth. Now, you could picture him saying, I've done all that. What more do I lack? Or what do I lack? Jesus says what? If you want to be perfect, or that is, if you want to be complete, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So Jesus is telling him to do two things. You're rich, get rid of everything, give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure that never rusts. And after that, you need to come and follow me. Two things he gave to this man. But what does this young man say? We all know. But when the young man heard that the sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So here's a young man who trusted more in his finances than he did God. And God knows our hearts. He knows where the idols lie in our lives. To this man, it was his finances. It kept him from trusting the Lord with all of his heart. And he went away sorrowful because he wanted to keep what he had. And a lot of rich people, and we know that Jesus said it's after this scripture, we're not going to read that, it's hard for a rich person to enter into heaven. It's easier for him to go through the eye of a needle than to enter into heaven. And when he's saying that, he doesn't mean a literal needle. There was a thing called a needle that a camel goes into the city, but they have to go down. So this man was bound by his riches, and it stopped him from growing in Christ, following God, because he kept what was dear to his heart. And in those times, we ask ourselves, and I know there's been times when God will tell me to give money. And certain times I would be more than willing, and other times I would be like, what? Who? Why? And there's a test. And I've learned there was a time in my life when I would give. I was going to different churches, and there was times when I couldn't make churches, working graveyard. So I would compile a bunch of money, tithes in the house, and then the Lord would send people to me who needed money. Now in the beginning, as you're giving, you can feel, this is great, I want to give it, but then here comes the flesh rising. Why are you giving this? And then the battle starts. And then right there, you know, what am I going to do? And when you finally release it, you feel freedom in that because you trusted in the Lord. So when I was doing all that stuff, not knowing what was going to happen to me in the future, that's what it is. Whatever we sow in the ground will reap. And God is faithful. So this was around a time when, and I told you guys a part of this story. I never told the whole story, but this was a time when my daughter died, and then I couldn't work for a while. So, of course, we are faithful. God is faithful. And there's always a connection somewhere when we are tested in those times and we don't know what the future holds, but we have to follow Christ. So everyone came around, and I made more money in that entire month than I did if I would have worked for 2 months, because everyone came in, people who weren't even Christians, but they knew who I was, came in and gave. Everything was free. The funeral was free. Palms Mortuary was free. They just happened to be doing that at that time for children. And it was by God. So there's a little thing that we can, finances could keep us from blessings that we don't know are coming. Because again, the more we give, like Pastor Tim always says, we can't outgive God, right? And that is a fact. But we have to tell that to ourselves. That's the problem. When the test comes. And then we also have to know where to give, who to give to, right? That's difficult as well. We get confused in the mind because we're still lacking the total trust. And that's where the problems come in. So we can all agree that money is an issue in life, in our lives. we can actually give it away, and it's no big deal. I really do enjoy. Sometimes I like, let's see what I can give to see what God does. And that's a blessing, because we start thinking in the eternal and seeing whatever I give, whether it's my finances, my time, which is part of your finances, your help, whatever you're doing, is treasures in heaven. And sometimes it's easier to give money than yourself to people. And God may want to say, no, 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 I don't want the money. I want you to go and do. And I've been on that side too. Oh, I just want to give money. I don't want to go help someone. But are you trusting in me that this is the right thing to do? And it all works together in that, trusting the Lord with all of our hearts. So that's an example of something bad. But then we have the story of the widow's mite in Luke 21, and we know that one, that this woman had everything she had. In essence, she had like a penny or 25 cents, and she put it into the offering for the temple. So Jesus looks at her and says, you see that woman? She gave more than anyone else did. And why is that? Because she gave it out of what she had left. Everyone else was giving out of their abundance. So what does it really mean? And Jesus said she was blessed more. She gave more. What treasures were waiting for her in heaven? And what did God do for her after that? We won't know. But here's a woman who said, you know what? It's better for me to give this to the Lord and to see what he would do with this and see how it will grow, she might have thought. And that's how we should be in our finances. We should be like this widow. Because again, if God tells us to do something, whether it's our finances, time, whatever it is in the tangible, we don't know what will come out of that. And I'm not talking up here, and I'm not going to say, we're going to pass around the bag again, you know, because I want to test your faith. No, no, I'm going to wait till we're outside, and you just put in the box right there. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's wherever the Lord leads you to give is the right place. So when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, you're laying down before him and you're opening up and following him, he will tell you what to do, either to give or even to receive, because sometimes it's hard to receive. People come to you and give. If you're too used to giving, someone comes to you automatically like, no, 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 no. And that becomes an issue as well. So we're always trying to get balanced with the Lord. But when we look at the widow, she gave everything she had to the Lord, and she was blessed, whether she knew it or not on that earth. So again, and lean not on your own understanding is the second one. But why do we? Why do we continue to lean on our own understandings in different ways? We're also going to look at physically. Even when it comes to our bodies, there's times when we lean on our own understandings and do things that are harmful for us. Number one thing that's harmful for us more than anything is food. And that's the truth, because food is extremely toxic. It's not like it used to be. Here in America, more than anywhere else, they allow chemicals that no other countries will allow, and I think I said this last week. But there's so many other ways in our health. We do things, we listen to the TV, and we say, that's nice, that's good, I'll do that, I'll try that. Even up here. So, in 2 Kings 5, you don't have to go there, but I can read you the story if you want. You can go to 2 Kings 5, and I'm going to start at verse 9. To see our perceptions when it comes to trusting the Lord, even with our bodies. Will it be our way or his way? So 2 Kings 2, and it's a story that is familiar to you. And this guy's name is Nahum. He was a general in an army. So Nahum went, and the king told him to go down. I'm just going to read it from 11. No, I'm going to read it from 10. He went to Elijah's house, and verse 10 says, Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed from leprosy. And he had leprosy. Now, Elijah didn't meet him, and you're talking about a general right here who was highly esteemed. He was a great guy, but he didn't meet him. So he's going to get a little bit, what are you talking about? Verse 11, the Nahum went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Now here's a man saying, I thought he would have came to me and do it the way I assumed he would. I thought he should do it. That's what would cure me. But what does he say after that? Are not Adma and Pharpha, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. This is the way it should be done. You know, a lot of people could say that. No. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to be healed. This is the treatment that I need. But God may say something differently. And if we're not trusting in the Lord and praying and seeking him, we won't know. But here's a guy who said he should have waved his hand, you know, give me this quick fix. Maybe God was saying, no, you don't need a quick fix. You don't need to get a pill. What you need is to just change your lifestyle. But no, Lord. And that's another way we don't trust in God. One of the most difficult things to do is fast. Right? Who agrees fasting is different? It's difficult. It is, right? How many of you, and I'll put everyone on the spot, how many of you, let's say, fast once a week? None of us. Once a month? Once every couple of months? How about once every 6 months? No, right? It's difficult. That's pretty good. Now, the Bible tells us that we will fast, right? And it's interesting because there's a lot of health benefits to fasting. Part of our life. And God may tell us that not only to prepare us for a spiritual battle, because that's happened to me before, and I didn't know until afterwards. You're killing the flesh. But he also is because it helps us with ailments. Cancer patients who know, and maybe I think I mentioned this last week, didn't I? Cancer patients who know fast for 2 to 5 days. Now that seems extreme. Why is that? Because after 18 hours, your body produces 500% of a growth hormone. And your body learns that it's saying, okay, we're not getting any food, so I'm going to eat everything that's junky in there first. Get rid of toxins and you're drinking water. And your body heals itself naturally. And the people who fast before they go to chemo recover quicker than people who don't, because their immune system just jumped up amazingly. Now, God knows more than we do. But we may want to go to a doctor to get a treatment. But God may say, why don't you stop eating a Twinkie? Why don't you just eat this? And we can say, no, but I can't afford that. Interesting enough, if you eat healthy foods and they're good for you, you actually eat less and you have more money because the cravings are not there. So God knows what's best for us, but are we even trusting him with our health? And that is every aspect of our lives when you think about it. And I think about which is a shame, Christians today, they're living together even out of marriage. And that's a health issue as well. We also know when it comes to sex, it should be in marriage. We all know there's diseases. We know everything that goes on. But a lot of people, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, don't follow that as well. Who knows more? God does, right? He did it for a purpose. So we want to listen to God. But it goes back to a what? If we have in our minds and we hear good advice, like we all have, do we follow it for our own health? Whose body, your body, is it yours? As a Christian, were you bought with a price? Are we not the temple of the Holy Spirit? Right? And in that context, he's saying, what? You're joined to a harlot. Your body's a temple of the Lord's. You're no longer yours. You're bought with a price. But that's a difficult thing as we grow to try to what? Trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Don't lean in our understanding. But this doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. Why can't I just? Well, I know what's better for you than you do. I created you. Okay, Lord. But it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult for us in that aspect as well. And I know that. And since I've been in ministry, I've gained 30 pounds since I've been in ministry. And I could say, oh, Lord, it's just because I'm busy. I don't have time. And I have to preach. I have to counsel. I have to go here. I have to go do that. I don't have to just pick up anything and eat what I want. I could still exercise. There is still time. There is no excuse. And God's like, and then I'm like, oh man, where am I getting this at? After I started gaining this weight, I started developing more issues. Lord, what's going on? Do something. Okay, go back to the way you used to be. Lord, heal me. Okay, Change your diets. I gave you everything to eat on earth. Yes, a lot is contaminated, but I give you other stuff that you can be healthy. But Lord, I don't have the time. But, are you going to trust me or not? Even in there, it goes back to trust. And it's easy again in our culture to just be led by all this information that entices us. But we got to be wise, right? Because again, our bodies are the Lord. We're trying to honor him in every way. Is it hard? Think about this. How many ministers do you see that are extremely overweight and obese? Somewhere in the body of Christ, we forgot that gluttony is bad as well, right? And if God tells us, when we go to a doctor and they say, your blood pressure is high, your sugar is bad, you got this, what's this problem? Well, I think you should change your diet. And we're like, oh, it's difficult, right? And I find it so difficult. I find it difficult. I already got rid of these things, Lord, that seem to be wrong, which is sin. And what is sin? The things God tells you that you shouldn't do and you do it. If you know the thing you should be doing and you don't, it becomes sin to you. So I find it hard to do that. Food is what I grew up with. And I love it. But it's killing us if we don't eat right. And it dishonors God, right? All right. So he goes there and I'll continue with the story in 13. Naaman's servant went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, some great thing, would you have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. And the man of God, of course, we know what happens, came up with skin like a young boy. So here was the test. Was he going to listen to God or not? He was angry. But he did it. And what happened? He was cleansed because he did it God's way and not his way. What he expected, he thought it should be this way, but it wasn't. And what happens afterwards? Verse 15 says, Then Naaman and all the attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except Israel. Because of listening to God, this man who was a pagan, worshiping other gods, said, there is no other God than yours. He became like a light. He became converted. And that's also what happens to us if we're vessels of God. We listen to God for his glory, right? And people see it and they change. So in our flesh, and then we also have our emotions, emotionally. That's a tough one as well, because before it gets to anywhere else, it's up here, right? So Luke 7, 36 through 15, you don't have to go there, but if you do, it's a good example of a person who was delivered emotionally, because that's a tough one. That's the one that will always be with you, regardless if you try or not. Even if you're trying, it'll try to put you down with the enemy behind it. So in Luke 7, 36, 50, it tells us a familiar story as well. I'm starting at 44. And then he turned towards the woman and said to her, now this is the woman who came in while Jesus was having dinner in a Pharisee's house. And she started to cry and she washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And she poured an alabaster box of expensive oil. But this is what the Lord says. And he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into her house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet her feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. Her trust in him. She trusted in God even to the point where she didn't care who was around. She was going in and asked the Lord through her tears for forgiveness. And she was. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. But the religious said, what? Who is this who can even forgive sins? Jesus ended by saying to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go in a sound mind. Go in a clear mind. going to cleanse mind because you trusted in me. See, it's interesting again here that you see the people who should have known better not trusting in Jesus. They knew. They had the prophets. They understood what prophecy should be fulfilled, but they lacked trust again. But this woman was delivered in her mind. Her emotions were calm inside of her because she trusted God. And it always goes back to the same issue. Trust the Lord with all of you. Don't try to understand what's going on. If you just trust me, I will change things in your life. But it's still hard, right? It's still difficult for us, even now, in our Christian walk. And all of that affects us spiritually. Our spirits can be broken, right? And there was a time in my life as well, you know, through churches. A church is a relationship, and it is. Because wherever church you go to, what it does to affects your outlook also on who Christ is. So I came out of a lot of churches, and then I went to go visit other churches. But when I saw something that reminded me of the last one, I left. I had a trauma. Now that's like relationships, right? But that's unfair. I am judging every church by what I may see here and there. And God's not the fault, it's human beings. But it damaged me spiritually. And it took time again to even trust the Lord. So all those things can affect us when it comes to God. And in all our ways, we are to acknowledge Him, right? The word acknowledgement is us not just saying what we would think, hey, you're over there, I see you, and go our way. No, it's supposed to be fellowship with Him constantly. So when we have that, it says what? He shall direct your path. In other words, He will make the road clear to you. You will know if you do these things, if you continue fellowship in Him. But that's a difficult thing, right? So again, how do we do these things? It sounds pretty simple. What would be your answer? Well, I just gotta, you know, trust in God more. If it was that simple, wouldn't we all be doing that right now? We can all say, I know I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I know I don't lean in my own understandings, but we do. And what's the reason for that? And again, the Bible tells us. Jesus Himself tells us. Once again, a familiar spirit to us in John 15. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And see, Jesus is saying, you have to continue to grow in me. Otherwise, you will wither. It's the whole also thing about the fellowship and what this pandemic has done, where people again has left the trust of God and what He has for them, and they've forsaken, let's say, the fellowship. And God will take us when He wants to. He'll let us know what He wants in our lives. But a lot of people have done that, and they've fallen back into the hands of the enemy. And a lot of people can watch online, like some are right now, but there's still a difference. Because you're still on your own. God made us to be together, right? And we are the body. We are a representation of Christ. So He says that. He says that you're a branch and you will wither if you're not continuing to be in Him. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will walk. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. So He says, if you continue to walk in me and grow in trust and grow, what will it do? Whatever you ask, I'll give you. And why is that? What does that mean? A lot of this part right here, the scriptures, people have used to say, if you ask a car, a house, you know, long life, this, that, whatever, God will give it to you because God came down to restore this world, and we have to take it back for Him. But no, He restored relationship, and when He comes down, He will do all that work. When we are in Christ, His desires becomes our desire. So whatever we ask for are in accord with His will. It won't be a selfish thing. It'll be out of trust and love and for others. And of course, even when it comes to ourselves, it's like, God, I can't do what you ask me to unless I get this. I can't. Okay, here it is. And He does those things. But the answer is abiding in Him constantly. So why is it difficult to trust with all of our hearts? Well, like I said, to trust in Jesus, we first have to have that continuing relationship that isn't just, of course, Sunday. It's an every 24-hour day. And is it easy to be here and then walk out and forget Jesus for a while? I do that sometimes. I remind myself, okay, God, you're with me everywhere, and I'm going to keep talking to you wherever I go because I'm going to train myself in righteousness, like the Bible says. It's a training. You have to continue in that. And that relationship is the issue. So people could also say, well, you don't understand what I've been through financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Where was God when all those things happened to me? How can I trust him when he didn't stop people from doing things to me or hurting me or taking from me or taking from my family? Were you there when I lost everything? Where was God then? When my health went down? When I was emotionally and spiritually destroyed? And people can ask, say that to God and say, how can I trust you, God, when you weren't there? Forgetting that God is saying, I was there. I'm the one that brought you through that. And I understand your pain. I understand your pain so much that I loved you enough to die for you on a cross. I took that pain and put it upon myself so you can be free. You only have to trust me. Let go of it and give it to me. And in time, if you trust me, I will fix every issue in your life. But you have to follow and trust me with all of you, with every aspect of your life, and you will bear much fruit, and you will get over those things that happen to your life. And that's what it really means to follow the Lord and to be with him. And it's an ongoing thing, and we all are Christians here. We all love the Lord, but his mercies are new every day, and we falter in certain ways, right? And we can all say amen to that. But the answer to trusting the Lord in all your heart, not leaning on their understanding, is just that. God, whatever you do, whatever way you want me to go, I will trust. I will go forward and prostrate myself before you because I can trust you. I'm not going to try to understand life in my way, in my knowledge and wisdom, because your spirit is transforming me to see what you see. So I'm going to walk in your ways, and you will show me the right road. And people have got hurt before. I want to close with Jeremiah 29. And I'm going to read from verse 10. And this applies to Israel. It also applies to us during the captivity when they went into Babylon. Now, it's interesting what he says here because it's also for us. We may have fallen away or not spent enough time or maybe not the way God wants it. We can be in the Word all the time, praying all the time. But if it becomes a habit or a routine and it isn't an intimate, loving time, then we can become religious. And then once again, it's just a thing that we do and we're not growing because we should see fruit in our lives. But I'm going to start in verse 10, and it says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are complete at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place." We all know this scripture. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and not a hope. Then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." See, right here, the person has come to the realization that they need to trust in God in every aspect. So God says, "I will hear you." But you've allowed an idol in your life. And idols are things that we will deal with for the rest of our lives. And we tend to think of idols, and we were talking about this. I was talking about this with the brothers at Tom's house, but we tend to think of idols as statues that we bow down to, right? That's the number one idol. But the Bible tells us that everything that exalts itself before the truth or the knowledge of God becomes an idol. We are prone to that. Idolatry. What is idolatry? Is just wanting to be before the Lord, doing our will, not his will. not trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. Now, this isn't thinking about, oh man, I'm rotten, I'm condemned, or and all that stuff. No, it's not about that. It's about the Lord saying, hey, come with me, and I'm going to fix you. Don't worry about that. But Lord, I'm a wretched idol worshiper, this and that. The pastor told me that I have an idol in my hand because it's true. I do want to watch this or do that or instead of spending time with you. It's not to condemn us because he doesn't condemn. He convicts and loves us and say, come on, spend more time with me. All these issues that you have is just because we haven't developed our relationship. And I want to show you how good I can be with you. But again, you have to trust me and learn from me, as Jesus says. But it says it right here, when you seek me with your heart, he will hear. And it says, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and of all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your way, and then he directs your path. Israel was led captive because they fell away and didn't trust God anymore. They put their trust in idols, and they fell away. But even then, the Lord's mercy and love was there and said, I'm going to teach you a lesson. If we were to continue in Proverbs 3, it goes on to say, don't despise the chastisement of the Lord or the correction of God, because it's good for you. And afterwards, it talks about wisdom being more wonderful, and it's more of a treasure than anything else on the earth. Why? Because when God disciplines us, we gain wisdom, and when we follow that, we gain intimacy with Christ, and we start trusting him more. And that is what it boils down to, and it will always boil down to in our lives. Just an issue of being led by the Lord and bearing fruit in time, which we all can, because God is always with us. All we have to do is take him by the hand and say, okay, Lord, lead me, show me, I will follow. And I will trust even though my mind doesn't want to. And watch how things can change. Of course, for the better. No matter what the circumstances are, they will always be better because Christ is near you. And let's pray. And Father, we thank you again for your word and your goodness. And that it is, of course, possible for us to trust you with all of our hearts. And all we have to do, Lord Jesus, is follow you. And even now I ask, Lord, if there's anything in us, and we do struggle with that. We do have a difficult time with these issues. But we know that you're always there cheering us on, bidding us to come to you, and helping us in our weaknesses. So even now I ask that you help us in any aspect of those that we talked about right now. And any weakness we have, just remind us, Lord, that when we continue to follow you, the trust builds, the relationship builds, and we can see you and understand you more, because you are worthy of everything we have, and you will never leave us or forsake us or let us down. But there's issues in our life that maybe we haven't dealt with from the past that's interfering with that, so we need you to tell us and to show us and to lead us out of that. Whatever the case may be, you see all of our hearts, you know what we need. And you are always for us and not against us. And we thank you, Father. We love you for your mercy, your love, and your goodness, and your continuing hand upon us for the good. As your word says, your plans are good for us, to prosper us. In you, Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. Yeah.